Hello, and welcome to ELR. For more options, press 1. For anime and bashing, press 2. For hippie-talking trucker types, press 3. For Texas, press 4. For Columbia, press 5.
Huh? What you doing? Oh, I wish I was back home on Family Farm.
You need to sexy up your dreams a little bit.
That was supposed to be humor.
Once again, I've been educated on this here show. Is jowl cheese? Ugh. Blah, blah. I don't know what's up or down. It's just crazy. Is there a theater where you live down there in South Carolina?
Honestly, he sounds like a sissy.
Didn't see that coming. I am a little bit slow today. You all right? Oh, you choking on a hairball? What is that?
Oh, what we have? Oh, this big gun has knife on end of it. Oh, that's a very important plot device. Blah, blah, blah.
That is top of the notch stuff we got going on right there, technology-wise. The giant eyes, the plastic hair, it all needs to go.
Geek tested. Nerd approved. Extra Life Radio.
Hey, this is Scott Kurtz. I am the creator of PvP, and I am calling to say that you're listening to Extra Life Radio.
Hey, everybody, welcome back to, what is this, Extra Life Radio, ELR. This is number 161 for November 29th, 2007. Here we are a week later. We had Thanksgiving, did no show last week. Sorry about that. Hope you guys had a great holiday in the U.S. For everyone else, screw you. I want to thank you by now for being a part of the show. Those guys are always awesome. I haven't mentioned them in a while. If you want to go check them out, use Extra Life as a code and save 15%, or is it 10%? I think it's 10%. I want to also thank GoDaddy.com. Use Life 1, Life 2, and Life 3 to save money on your next.com, your next hosting package, and a myriad of other services. It's your piece of the internet today at GoDaddy.com. Welcome back to the show. Let's jump right in. Joining me, as always, is Obsidian from CommissionComic.com. Welcome to the program, Sergio. Hello?
Who?
You know who. It's you, damn it.
Ah.
Hey, we should tell everybody, if you are a Commission comic fan, you'll be interested to know that the forums don't exist anymore. And there's a great comic today to describe said destruction of forums, and you can now join the Commission comic social network instead. So get on it. Slacking bunch of...
Yeah, but yeah. Now there's nothing for me to say.
Yeah, I got nothing. You got nothing. Joining us also is Brian Dunaway from MissionDeep.com and ComicsCoastToCoast.com. Brian, what are you doing?
Hi, how's it going? I'm glad to be here.
Oh my gosh. You all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?
You still hopped up on turkey from the week? Is that what you guys had down there to the South Carolina? Do something else?
Yeah. Yep. We had some turkey and some cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
And some bacon.
Mm. You
know, we had stuffing, that kind of stuff. You know, regular Southern Thanksgiving.
Do you want to know what my wife did?
No.
Okay.
What'd she do?
She not only got the normal turkey thing, she was in charge this year, so she did 90% of the cooking and all the major dishes and all that, and everybody kind of brought stuff, but we had it here at the house, and it went great. Turkey was great and everything, but she bought a bonus ham that was not for those people. They didn't get none of that. They don't get none of the ham. That was for us, and she saved it, and then we've been eating ham for like a week.
Really?
Yeah, because we didn't want to get tired of the whole turkey leftover thing, so we whipped out this ham.
So we decided we'd get sick of ham.
Yeah, exactly. We'd be sick of ham.
Hey. How long can you actually keep this old stuff in the refrigerator before it's dangerous?
Indefinitely. No, that's not true. But the turkey is still in there. The big carcass is still in there, and it's still edible.
I got a question for you.
Yeah.
I ordered Egg McMuffin not too long ago from McDonald's.
Okay.
Because I like Egg McMuffins.
Yeah.
And she said, which kind would you like? And I said, the one with the ham on it. And she said, we don't have ham on our Egg McMuffins, and I'm thinking, I have always gotten ham on my
Isn't it
Egg
sausage?
McMuffin.
Well, they have sausage.
There's a sausage one too.
They have a ham and egg.
She said there is a ham and there is a Canadian bacon, and I was like, okay, then give me the Canadian bacon.
Yeah,
is Canadian bacon just ham?
I think it is. Isn't it a certain cut?
Is it?
Well, it's a certain cut of ham, isn't it?
I don't. Maybe so. Maybe.
And wait a minute. What about if you do that cut in the U.S.?
What if you do it in the U.S.? Well, that's where
is it no longer Canadian? Is it?
all I know is I don't appreciate it getting my schooling on culture from a McDonald's employee.
No kidding, dude. What the crap? That bugs me.
Just give me the ham. You know what I'm talking about.
You know what, Brian? You may have
me, lady.
Well, you may have just done something that helps us out today. Do you want to know what that is?
What's that?
You may have actually you may have given us this.
Jerk of the moment.
Nice work. Jerk of the moment.
But no, this mystery is not yet solved. You didn't answer Brian's question, and we still don't understand what happened. I mean, what is the difference between a dead Canadian pig and a dead American pig?
Well, my experience is that it doesn't have anything to do with the pig. It is how the Canadians, what cut of meat they take from the pig that they then term Canadian bacon. And
so basically Canadians have like a secret method.
Yeah.
The pig.
Yeah, that's they have hockey and that.
They have like a ritual.
They have those.
So they have hockey and that.
That's the two things they have.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, is it better? Is the bacon better or is it not even that?
I don't know, but I got
it's not bacon.
This is a funny transition.
Not
because,
even bacon?
No, it's not. Not the way we think of bacon. Not at all. It's like ham. That's the problem. It's basically ham, and they just call it something different. It's like. The loo is a toilet in Britain, and it isn't that here. Or, you know, the lift and the elevator. It's like that. So what's interesting is a Canadian called me out the other day because I said some snarky remark about France on the instance. And this guy called me out. A Canadian called me out and called me Rush Limbaugh and to watch myself. So,
what?
Yeah, I don't know, dude. The whole thing's really confusing. But anyway, Canada, we love you.
Wait a minute. This is cool. Okay, you make comments about France,
and
a Canadian calls you out. I know the connection.
Yeah, it makes sense, doesn't it?
But maybe we should start trying. You know, we start commenting on different countries, and we see what other country, you know, that generates a response from. So you know, like today, we can, you know, I don't know, say something about. Yugoslavia.
No, let's say something like
who knows? You know, maybe somebody from I don't know Panama.
Well, let's freak people out about an actual belief of mine. I actually think that global warming is real, and now someone will email me and call me a pinko liberal. So I get it from both sides, dude. There's no way you can win.
Yeah, yeah.
I won't even
what liberal?
Pinko. You guys don't have those. You guys just have your.
I guess not.
Jose Riviera, or whatever his name was, that freedom fighter guy with the T-shirts. What's that guy's name?
Jose Che Guevara.
That guy. Sorry. No, it's not Jose Riviera.
No.
All right. Anyway, well, there you go. So welcome to the show. I don't know how we got on all that stuff. I have no idea. Oh, no, I know what it was. Brian and his damn McDonald's story. Way to go, dude. Thank you for that, though. We appreciate it.
You know, I wonder what other countries have their own bacon.
Let's think. We obviously have bacon the way the Brits do, so I don't think it's that different.
So you eat English bacon?
Oh, do I ever. Oh, happy birthday to my wife today. I can't do birthdays without mentioning that. Yeah, Kim's birthday was today, and I made her some weird egg thing this morning and had a good time, and she had a good day.
So. I can see it now. I mean, you throwing the plate on the bed. Here you go, honey. I don't know what it is, but
well, we have a tradition around here. The kids get up with me. We make it together. We take it in there. We sing her happy birthday, and we're good to go. But what's funny is she woke up before me, and she was like thinking I forgot. So it's like 6:30, and I'm still laying there dead asleep because I was so tired last night. And she says, I hear her mumble in the other room. She goes. So the tradition ends with me. Damn it. So I had to get up and go do it. Anyway, happy birthday, Kim. Good times, happy days, yeehaw. Also, happy birthday to Geezer Frog's brother. This guy, I'll just read this to you. It says, hi, guys at ELR. That's all three of us. I was listening, or in his words, lis-gagenting, to the last few episodes and thought I would, I thought that now Scott is being left out, so I'm wondering if Scott could say happy birthday to my bro, Johnny, as the other Ding Pong or Sean Connery Well, either. His writing is a little weird. Anyway, his brother Johnny turns 25 on Friday.
Do Ding Pong. You haven't done Ding Pong for a while.
Okay. Ding Pong, say happy birthday on Friday time, Johnny Man. There you go. That's all I'm doing today. That's all you get. Thank you, Geezer. Did I scare you guys off or what?
No, it was kind of anticlimactic.
Well, of course it was. It always is when someone tells you to do a voice. You can't help it. Happy birthday there. Someone else wrote in and says, my name is Frederico. I live in Nebraska, and I will be 20 on the 11th of December. So we're a little early, but we thought we'd start early. So happy birthday, Federico. It's not Fred. It's Fed.
Scott, yeah. I think we lost Brian.
Are you serious? Yeah. For the love of Mike. All right, I got to pause it. God, we got Brian back after his attempt to leave the show.
That is too funny.
By not, you know, by hanging up. Oh, I swear it was my internet. It wasn't me.
Oops.
All right, so we got rid of Federico and who else? Last one. Good evening, Scott, O, and Brian. My name is Julie, and I'm from Ontario, Canada, speaking of the Canadians. It's my 28th birthday on Sunday, December 2nd. That's this coming weekend. Nice. I was wondering if you'd be possible to get a shout-out done to me in the sexiest Canadian accent you guys can do. It would make
Canadian
my life.
Accent?
Yeah.
Canadians have an accent?
Sure they do. Here goes.
No, I remember the South Park movie, but...
Yeah, it's a lot like that, but here's my version. So here you go, Julie. Ready? So, Julie, you're going to have a birthday. That's great, eh? There you go.
You sound like a Muppet.
I know. I'm not a very... I mean, it's obviously kind of a Mackenzie-esque sort of voice, but...
Yeah, yeah.
It's also kind of a North Dakota, South Dakota Indian reservation casino guy voice. Those guys are all kind of hanging out anyway. So anyway, happy birthday to you. And who else? Is that it? That's it. Oh, one last one. Sorry. No, that was Julie. No, you know what? This is to Julie from Jason. Sorry. Oh. Thank you, Jason. Or no. Hey, Scott, could you say happy... Oh, no, this is a different guy. Jason says, can you say happy birthday to Ben if he's still listening, I hope. His birthday's on the 30th. I don't know what that means.
So we don't even know if he's listening?
Yeah, maybe he's just a total waste. That's okay.
Oh, well, let me take care of this one because I haven't done this in a couple of weeks.
Do it.
Okay, so happy birthday, Ben. Wow. Are you there?
Wow.
Are you listening, Ben?
It was unbelievably good.
Ben, you with us? If you're with us, Ben, if you're listening, Ben, happy birthday.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Excellent.
All right. Stow that stuff, nice. Hudson. Okay, here we go. Let's jump into this. All right, let's talk about movies. I did these little intros today. Just to make it a little more fun. All right, today's show is kind of broken up into three main categories, movies, TV, and video games. I know we do that a lot anyway, but today it's very distinctly that way. And I wanted to get the thoughts of both Brian and O, and I guess myself, on they basically revealed the Joker in full, you know, color glory. For the upcoming Dark Knight film about Batman. Well, that's a terrible introduction. But anyway, so there he is sitting there, Brokeback Mountain guy sitting there on a chair looking all sinister, and he's got his full clothes and makeup and hair and stuff. I'll start just by saying I am really, really happy to see them going for more of the psycho killer murder nut job version of the Joker and less of the kind of cartoony... silly sort of theatrical version of the Joker, which was more like the Joker in the first Batman movie and certainly in previous incarnations that have been on TV and film. I think this is the way to go, and I'm totally pumped about it. I know there are a lot of people that are concerned and think that he just looks like an emo, you know, pissed off kid or something, but I don't think you can tell too much of that stuff from pictures. I just think the look is right on. So, I'm really anxious to hear what you think about the new Joker. Generally.
Well, it's kind of interesting because as a designer, whoever designed this Joker really took into account, like, basically what an actual person. What an actual person would dress up to be like the Joker. I mean, if they were all disturbed and everything, because. Basically, what is very interesting about villains and superheroes and everything is that they are really I mean, there's really a lot of makeup and a lot of dress up involved. And when you look at the Joker this way, I mean, it makes you feel a whole lot more like this guy actually just put this suit together or whatever. And so I think it's really interesting. I mean, this whole lack of design, sort of like on purpose, you know, making him look like he just, you know, he just threw this thing together. He probably has been wearing that thing for months and stuff like that. So I think he looks really interesting. Personally, I hope they don't lose the theatrics because I like the way the Joker acts and talks and, you know, the whole way he behaves. I think it's very funny.
Yeah, I
think it's very interesting.
I think they can keep that, don't you think? Don't you think they can retain that without, you know, without having the crazy top hats and the stupid tuxedo, purple tuxedos and all that crap?
Well, it's a matter of body language too. I mean, it's about how he moves and everything. I'm neither a fan or a detractor. What do you call that?
Sure, detractor works.
That's
French for the tractor, by the way.
I'm neither one thing or the other of Heath Ledger. So, I mean, yeah, sure, whatever. I will say this though. He does look the part, which is basically what a lot of people were thinking was not going to happen.
Well, I think he looks great. And I like the whole torn face look with the, you know, the trippy makeup and him looking just kind of dirty and homeless in a way is interesting to me. So, Brian, your thoughts?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My opinion?
Sure. What the hell?
I don't know. I've never been a real big fan of the Joker as a character, so I don't know. So
you and your anti, you just what do you?
What's that?
What's your favorite?
Which one do you like?
Yeah, who do you like?
I'm gonna have to say Mr. Freeze.
Oh Lord!
Sometimes it's like talking to a big fuzzy 9-year-old.
I know. I love it. Yeah.
Actually, Two-Face is probably my favorite, but he's not really necessarily old school from the TV show, but I really think that, you know, Tommy Lee Jones is Two-Face. Was I thought it was a great character.
Oh, really? I thought you did a terrible
I like that one. Really?
I love Two-Face. Don't get me wrong. I think Harvey Dent and the whole Two-Face thing, that stuff's great. That'll be great. I'm excited about, what's his name? Aaron Eckhart playing the role of Harvey Dent. How that'll play out will be neat and all that. I have no problem with that. I think Batman Forever was a giant wart on the bum of society.
Yeah, but we discussed this before. I mean, I think that the whole over the top, you know, way out there feel that those Batman movies had were respectable in their own right. And in that way, I mean, Two-Face, you know, the Riddler, maybe even is it Mr. or Dr. Freeze?
Mr. Freeze.
I say Mr. Freeze.
I think it's
Which was one of the characters from those movies that got like most criticized. No, they're all cool in their own right. I personally thought that his suit and the way he looked was pretty awesome.
Oh, you guys are killing me. I may not be able to.
I'm not saying. I mean, I'm not saying that I wish they did it that way this time. What I'm saying is that in their own right, they have things that you can rescue from them.
Yeah, that's true. I guess. I think nipples on the suits were enough for me. It's about when I was done with it.
Well, why can't you look past that, Scott? Do you have a problem with nipples?
That's all I can see. Are they walking around? I'm like, they're doing what with the batarang? I don't know. All I can see is their freaking nipples.
Okay, what about Canadian nipples? Are they any different?
Yeah,
they're different. They're just the way they cut the nipple up there. It's different.
They cut the nipple differently.
Canadian nipples. I just think I found the title of tonight's show. Let me write that down.
Well, you know, what I think is really cool about the new Joker is the way his mouth is cut, because it makes a lot more sense that way.
Yeah, I do too. And I just like the psychopath side of this. That's the comic book version of most of the Batman comics is what I want of the villains, and this is way more like what I envisioned from the books.
Well, I always remember thinking that in the movie, in the first Batman movie from 89, when that plastic surgeon on the street operates him and he leaves his mouth like that.
Yeah,
I remember thinking like, what, seriously? I mean, that you did that?
That's the best
I mean,
idea
that was the
had.
Best you could do?
Yeah. So Brian, what were you going to say?
I don't know.
Oh,
I
you say do. Oh, go ahead.
This song is going to say something about, you know, Batman and all of his nemesises are all insane.
Yeah, that's
true.
That's
why they always put him in the asylum.
That's a good point. But, you know, that's a good point. It's kind of a commonality to the whole Batman mythos. And if you're going to put, if you're going to, you know, my personal opinion is the next movie needs to have Bane in it. You guys remember Bane?
Oh, yeah, Bane.
Oh, Bane.
Yeah.
You know, that one was one that I thought that they really did wrong. In the older movies that they had, which one was it that had Bane in it? Was
Bane,
it three or
was Bane in the older movies?
Yeah, he was in
the one where everybody was in it, like Jim Carrey and Poison Ivy and everybody else. Was that the same one?
I tried to forget that movie.
Yeah, I remember. I think if you guys are looking at the chat room, maybe you can see what people are saying. I close it for bandwidth.
I do too.
But I think Bane was in the one that had Poison Ivy because I think. Bane was sort of like Poison Ivy's henchman. No, I'm not really sure.
You know what? You're right. But I don't know.
It was Batman for no, not forever. Batman and Robin.
Yeah, that one was Batman Forever. I think Batman and Robin had Mr. Freeze.
The Nightfall
and,
series. Blah blah blah. Bane is one of the greatest villains Batman has faced. That was in
true.
Batman and Robin, I think so.
But the movie sucked. If they can do Bane the way he was portrayed in the comic, neat. That's awesome. I would sign up and pay for that kind of goods right there. Anyway,
well,
yeah.
Yeah, but you know what I don't like?
What?
From this new movie, and this is very personal, but I don't like all the different Batmobiles. You know, I'm cool with the car, but now that he has a motorcycle too, I'm not too crazy on that.
It depends on how they portray it. I thought the old car was going to suck until I saw it in –
No. I mean, no, and I saw the motorcycle, and I thought it's cool. You know, the motorcycle is cool. What I'm not, you know, very happy about is, you know, the whole starting to add all the gadgets and the stuff. You know, now he has a car and a motorcycle. Pretty soon he's going to have the plane again and the bat boat and the bat submarine and basically a whole bunch of stuff with
bat scooter.
The bat Vespa to save gas. Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he basically has a bunch of stuff with the word "bad" at the beginning, and that's it. So, you know, I'm thinking, you know, you should just leave it at the car. After all, the car was not fully explored in the, you know, in the movie before this one. So maybe you can just play around with the car a little bit more. And besides, I don't think, you know, Batman cruising around in that motorcycle, it offers no protection.
No, that's true. It's very exposed. You know what I'd say, though? I'd say if you're going to do something cool with gadgets in a Batman movie, maybe they take over the role that the James Bond movies used to play, which was every James Bond movie you counted on this scene where James Bond would show up and Q would be there with all his cool gadgets he was going to have to use. And this pen sets fire to this, and this naked dude does that or whatever. I guess there were no naked dudes, but anyway, you get my drift.
You know, it was always funny to me. It, correct me if I'm wrong here, but a lot of the gadgets were made by Alfred, right?
Yeah, that's true.
He presented them.
Yeah, and you know, I would always think like, dude, you've invented all this stuff in your butler?
Get a life.
Yeah, it's pretty jacked up.
You could be richer than this guy. I mean, just go sell that stuff.
By the way, I saw a really great episode of the Super Friends. It was actually Challenge of the Super Friends, and it was a scene, and this was all pre Wonder Twins and Gleek and all that. And there was this part of this one episode where everybody in the world was turned into Bizarros and Cheetahs because there's some magic ray or whatever that
I think I've seen that episode.
Oh, it rules, dude. Yeah. Well, at some point, the butler, what's his name? You just said it, Alfred.
Alfred,
He comes out and they go, Alfred, bring us the something something. And he comes out and goes, me no hell Batman anymore. Me Bizarro man or whatever. It is great. Totally great. That stuff sucks so bad. It's just awesome. I love it. Anyway, I've been watching that on the toilet on my iPod Touch here frequently. Anyway, you probably didn't need to know that. Okay, let's move on from the Joker. Just a quick recommendation. We talked about it many shows ago and how I thought it was going to be good and everybody else made fun of me because it was more movies about penguins. I never did see at that time Surf's Up, and I just kind of said, whatever, Sony Animation Studios, kiss my butt, whatever, whatever. What was that sound? Did someone just swallow something?
That was Brian, but I don't know what
it was. Ow.
Oh, okay, you said ow. All right.
I hit my hand.
I'm here to tell you people, and we saw it on DVD finally, and... That is a pretty good movie. I would put it. I would put it.
Careful.
Up, I would
be
put
careful.
It up there. I wouldn't call it as good as the certainly not as good as the best Pixar movies, but I would put it right up there with maybe the Pixar movies that aren't the greatest, even though they're all good. But it wasn't a bad movie at all.
Like which one? Let's make you screw it up.
All right.
Okay.
I would put it up there.
Let's make you say something stupid.
For me, the weakest of all the Pixar movies.
This shouldn't be hard.
I'm going to take some heat for this.
Okay.
But my most weakest of all the Pixar movies.
My most weakest of all. Okay.
Is Toy Story 2. I liked it. Don't get me wrong. Their worst is...
No. Wait, this isn't working. You're supposed to say something stupid.
No, that's a smart thing. Because the thing is, their worst movie...
You're not supposed to be reasonable.
Their worst movie is still better than everyone else's best. So that says a lot. But I'm just saying, I'd put it right up there with that. Jeff Bridges is freaking brilliant casting. And I don't know if you guys even knew he was in this. He plays this washed-up surfer bum guy. It's almost... The whole movie's filmed like a documentary. Very effectively so. And it turns out he actually did motion capture on cameramen to achieve that feel of kind of handy cam, you know, bouncing around while you're running around with the camera and stuff, which was really effective. And the whole, I know it had got the Shia LaBeouf kid in it, and I'm trying to ignore the fact that that's true. However,
Is that kid everywhere
I know,
now? Am I never going to be rid of the LaBeouf?
Of the LaBeouf, chinless LaBeouf. No, you're not. But I'll tell you though, it the way the documentary style works is everybody sounds very ad-libby. I think they probably recorded their dialogue in the same room, which doesn't always happen with these movies, and it really shows and it really plays well. And Jeff Bridges is my freaking hero, dude. He's great. I'd take him over Tron any day. But anyway,
what?
He was great. What? Seriously, wasn't he Ram? What was his name in Tron? His character.
Yeah,
Ram. Was it Ram?
It's been so long. That's been a long time.
Anyway, but Jeff Bridges is great. He's basically playing the Big Lebowski in a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, yep.
That's how that surfs up is. Brian, have you seen it?
No, I have not seen it yet.
It's genius. Get it for your kids. It's really fun and just funny, and I liked it. And the water effects. Now, this is one thing I'll give them big credit for. I think even the people at Pixar are going, now, how do they do that with the water? I mean, honestly, it is technically amazing water stuff. Just looks as amazing as real, but not real at the same time. I don't know. It's hard to explain. You know, sometimes
this
things
is a good opportunity to say that you seem a little bit fixated on Pixar.
I love Pixar. Are you kidding?
That's cool, but you know, they better watch out. I mean, better and better 3D movies are coming out each and every time.
They should watch out. They honestly should, because these guys are just going to get better. And people tend to hire away the good Pixar talent anyway sometimes. So even though that's the greatest place in the world to live, somebody offers you, you know, $600,000 per minute to come work for them, you'd probably go.
You're exaggerating.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. Anyway, you should see.
You know which movie I saw? I saw Superbad.
Oh, what'd you think?
Oh, I want to see that.
Superbad is awesome. I mean, that is one funny movie.
I figured it'd be something you'd like. I haven't seen it myself.
I mean, I honestly thought it was going to be a little bit more. Focused on the whole, you know, sex jokes and stuff like that, and although there is a lot of cursing, there is a lot of sex jokes. The movie is just
so
funny
it
on it. So, yeah, the movie. No, I mean, because it's kind of sad when a movie just depends on these things to be funny.
Yeah,
I agree.
But the movie is funny on its own, and it has a great soundtrack also.
All right. Well, there's a good recommendation. Now, you saw quickly here. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but you saw Beowulf. Your thoughts on the movie?
Yes, I did. This is one of the few times I actually agree with movie critics. I think that the movie works sometimes, and sometimes it doesn't. A lot of the film critics are actually criticizing that the movie was made in 3D. I don't know if film critics are actually afraid.
Yeah.
Of animation or stuff like that.
I think so too.
But I thought it was an awesome choice, especially when you look at the guy that actually does Beowulf's voice, because the guy's old.
Yeah, he's a geezer.
Yeah.
So I mean, he looks young in the movie. And besides, it has an awesome scene. Beowulf is going to fight Grendel, and he goes nude. He decides that he's going to fight him in the nude. I mean, how awesome is that?
Well, that's how the original story went, wasn't it? The old Beowulf story was him doing it in the nude, which never made sense to me, but I guess it just makes him tough or something.
He says that Grendel doesn't have any armor or any weapons, so it's not fair. But who cares? I mean, it's just one guy jumping around in the nude. How cool is that? The movie's awesome. It looks kind of funny sometimes. I mean, for example, for the first time when Angelina Jolie's character comes out of the water, I mean, you just gasp because it looks so incredibly real. Sweet. And then she walks up to Beowulf and starts, you know, walking around him in circles. And you say, what? Is this like – I mean, this is like a bad render. Yeah. So the movie jumps continuously from amazing, like, whoa, I don't know if this is real or not, to, whoa, you guys need to practice a little bit more on your 3D stuff.
Like, the dragon fight is supposed to be amazing, like, just blows your mind. And then you'll see, like, a bunch of dead face, weird animation before
or
after.
Sometimes the movie really surprises you, especially, and this is kind of weird, well, at least in my opinion. The movie surprises you every now and then with a few of the extra characters, you know, characters that are relevant, that are in the background, that look amazingly lifelike.
Really?
You know, like you're thinking, oh, did these guys cheat or something and just add, you know, they're like, oh man, we're missing one of the characters. You know what? I don't feel like it. Just film Dave over there and put him in the movie. Nobody's going to notice anyway.
Poor Dave.
So it looks sometimes as if they cheated. So the movie is definitely amazing. And for the story and the action and everything, it stands on its own. So I recommend it.
So it's a mixed bag, but you'd recommend it. If you had to give it a number out of 10, what would your number be?
I'd go with 8.
8. Well, that's pretty strong.
I'd go with 8. Oh, and for those of you, because I spoke about this with Scott before, for those of you that think you're going to see a boob, you're not.
Well, I don't think anyone wants to see a boob. I think what people are interested in is...
You'd be surprised. But no, I mean, basically you get Angelina Jolie frolicking around the whole movie in the nude, but she's also like covered in liquid gold, so you never actually get to see a nipple. So it's basically a golden boob.
Is she from Canada? No.
Yeah, they do the boob cut differently in Canada.
I meant like the more Canadian nipples, what I was thinking.
Oh, yeah. Well, she's got the whole Canadian boob, nipple, bacon.
Very nice. Kevin Bacon. Well,
Angelina Jolie Bacon.
Hmm? Yeah. So there you go. Sounds good to me. I definitely want to see it. I haven't had a chance, and I will. But my brother-in-law said, don't take your kids because they'll either be bored or they'll be freaked by the action.
Well, I'll agree with your brother-in-law, but not because of the boob.
Yeah. Oh, well, no. Yeah, not because of the boob. Yeah, he claims there was a boob. He says there were boobies in it. And I said, really? He says, yeah, Angelina Jolie.
I don't know. Maybe Utah people conceive boobs differently, but...
Utah people.
But no. Oh, wait. Or maybe there's another...
Is there another boob? Is there another boob?
I was wondering if they had a different... Like,
females tend to have boobs, so... Yeah. So.
Well, Brian has boobs. Right, Brian?
Well, Brian is female. I sure do. Brian's like one of those circus women that has a beard.
And Brian has a fup, right, Brian? Do you know what a fup
is? Right.
Yeah. No, what is a fup?
It's a front butt. It's
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I'm kidding. Everyone in the South has a front butt except for Brian. Nice. I get in trouble for that. Anyway, listen, this is the thing that I wanted to say about Angelina Jolie. She is one of those actresses who says she will never do nude scenes in movies. I think it's interesting.
Well,
you know what
you need to add to the end of that phrase?
What?
Again.
Again.
She's done it before.
That's true. But now that she's like an A-list star or whatever, she claims she'll never do it again. But my point is, well, with computer animated hoo-ha, anybody can be buck naked. You know what I mean?
There's an interesting little bit of trivia or info regarding that. Apparently, one of the interesting things about these movies is that the people that act in them don't actually get to see it until the movie actually comes out. So Angelina Jolie, when she went and saw the movie, she was surprised at how naked she actually looked. And she said that she actually considered not allowing her children or Brad Pitt to see the movie because she was embarrassed.
Brad, she wouldn't let Pitt see the movie. That's funny.
Yeah, that's what she said. She said that she was not going to let her children or Brad Pitt see the movie because she was apparently too naked in it.
That's
she was
awesome.
Embarrassed.
That's awesome.
So now we know that Brad Pitt doesn't get any.
Hey, you know what I forgot? Brad Pitt was in Thelma and Louise. I forgot about that. I know it's not really important, but it's just something I noticed the other day, and I was watching some repeat somewhere, and I went, oh, that's Brad Pitt. What the crap? Anyway. Okay, good stuff. Beowulf, awesome, neat, whoop-de-doo. Let's talk about this.
Television.
All right, let's talk about television.
This is the part where I shut up.
No. This is not where you shut up, because the first topic here is interesting. Brian, I'll talk to you about it first, because you like big, southern, stupid cars, don't you?
Yeah, I guess.
I'm just kidding. Brian's a, you know something. He knows a sexy car when he sees one. So let's talk about this. Apparently, this has all been confirmed. We have first pictures of Kit from the new Knight Rider TV series. Not a movie. Now, for everybody who was hoping it was a Camaro, sorry. No Camaro this time. It is a Shelby GT500 KR. This is basically the body of the Mustang.
Yeah.
Black with a little Cylon thing in the head and what all that. So what?
I mean, I'm sorry to interrupt with this question totally off topic, but why would Kit be a Camaro?
He was a Camaro in the first place. Oh, wait. I'm sorry.
He was a Firebird.
Yeah, he was a Firebird Trans Am. Sorry, my bad.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But hold on a second. Like,
what? You wanted him to be a Beetle now?
No, my brain's not working, but the Trans Am was basically a Camaro. I mean, it's just, you know, yeah. Pontiac Trans Am and Chevy Camaro, same body, same everything, just didn't have a big
turn. When you say Camaro, I imagine, you know, the Camaro, like Bumblebee. And
yeah, well, that'd be the car. And a lot of people thought that's what we'd end up seeing. But maybe there's some exclusive, like, I don't know, Transformers deal that says, you know, they can't use this. Who knows? But it's a strange choice. Brian, you care what car it is as long as the show's good? Or is this significant at all? Or do we care?
Yeah, and I think no matter what they do, I just don't see how the show can be good, because I only see how that premise could have worked during the 80s. I just don't see how you can have a car that talks and assists. You know what I mean?
Because that's a good point. Really, that's a good point. Yeah.
Well, if your car has GPS, doesn't it basically talk already?
Sure. Yeah. But Brian, if I came up to you and said, hey, Brian, I hear they're doing a new show based on the old Battlestar Galactica, you would probably say to me, oh, that'll suck. They could never do that.
No, but you're not listening to Brian. You're not listening to what Brian said. Brian said, and I agree with him totally, that the whole premise of a show basically that revolves entirely around the talking car wouldn't work like it did in the 80s. I agree with you.
Now, what if it's a cooler voice or something? What if it's like a, Michael, I'm unable to track the object. All right, kid, we need to do this.
That's exactly what they're going to do. You know they're going to do that. See, that's what was so great about the first kid. It was kind of, you know, oh my God. And it was kind of, you know, really just, you know what I mean?
I mean, the car was annoying and obnoxious all the time.
Exactly. And so that made it all the more fun.
Yeah. So you might be right, dude. I have some nervousness about this, too. I'm excited. I mean,
honestly, the new Bionic Woman hasn't really worked for me. Mm-mm. Have you watched the series? Yeah. It doesn't really work for me.
It's not working for me at all.
See, that sort of stuff is impressive. I mean, sorry, that sort of stuff was impressive in the 80s, but nobody's impressed by that nowadays. I mean, it's like Airwolf. If you do Airwolf right now, I mean, come on, really?
Yeah,
it's a helicopter and it does stuff.
That's a good point. I guess I'm the kid in me wants Knight Rider back, and the adult in me knows they're going to blow it. So, I don't know. I'll hold off. You know, I'll reserve judgment. I reserve judgment for Bionic Woman. And as it turns out, it's not really working for me. Knight Rider,
only thing that
you know,
I would like to see with Knight Rider is just go ahead and just do like a reunion show. You know what I mean?
You get that, like, Higgins guy or whoever did the voice of Kit.
Yeah. And, you know, maybe update Kit a little bit more, you know, like they did in the second, where they actually almost got canceled and they added all the little extra features to Kit, you know, could do something like that.
I've heard rumors
about the new Knight Rider, and that they're going to have it like he's going to be like a Transformer. I don't know. It kind of makes sense, because that's the only way I can imagine him really fighting crime. You know what I mean?
but
like a mech.
You know we're going to get the Hasselhoff in the. You know, he'll be involved somehow. He's got to be.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Well, of course. Has to be involved. I mean, he's been milking that cow for
a couple of decades
but,
now.
But I mean, it doesn't – I agree with Brian. It doesn't work for me. That show worked in the 80s. I don't see how they could make it work right now. It's just not convincing. And the design for the car, it's – I mean, I'm not – I mean, yeah, sure, it can be a cool car or whatever, and yeah, you can make it as different as you want. But kit was all – I mean, for its time, it was all sleek and aerodynamic. And this car, while very classy and very nice, it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, it's got a chunky muscle car look to it. It's different.
Yeah. Yes, that's what I was looking for. I mean, kit is more like – you know, a sleek, aerodynamic, sporty car, and this new one is a muscle car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, there you go.
That doesn't work.
Yeah, that doesn't really jive with me either. And by the way, before we go to break, I just got to make a quick recommendation. I was able to find the new Futurama 2-hour movie. It is awesome. You guys should get it, rent it, buy it, do whatever you can to get it. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk a little bit more. What are we talking about? Oh, we got some game stuff to talk about. We'll do that in just a moment. When our program continues.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio. Bum chicka dum cha, bum chicka dum cha, bum waka waka honk, waka waka cha, bum waka waka honk, waka waka cha.
And we're back. Welcome back. What? Who? What?
Extra Life Unplugged.
Yeah, this is Extra Life Unplugged.
That's what I was looking for.
Hey, big thanks, by the way, to who did it? I don't have his name. Who did that? Oh, Bendy Walker. I don't know if that's a real name. Maybe that's the band. For that little funny thing there at the middle of the show. That's kind of cool.
Bendy?
Did that.
Yeah, Bendy. What name is their kid Bendy? I mean, what kind of
Crocodile Hunter does?
I mean, what kind of situation leads to you thinking that an appropriate name for a kid would be Bendy? Look what he can do. Look what he can do. Let's name him Bendy.
Hold on. Crocodile Hunter named his kid Bendy?
Isn't that right?
I don't know.
Isn't there a little girl's name
Bendy? I didn't know they had a kid.
Now, you see, that's even better.
You've been.
There's a woman out there named Bendy. Can you imagine what teenage guys are going to be thinking of?
Bendy. Like a straw. I don't know. Anyway, well, welcome back. Sorry, I'm eating a little beef jerky here. Got the spicy kind too. All right, let's do this.
Video games.
Valkyrie needs food badly.
All right. Feed the Valkyrie. Save the world. Okay. Can I just say, by the way, the last two episodes of Heroes, which may be the last of the season because of the writer's strike, were really good.
You can say that.
Yeah, I'll say that. Because the first half, the first rest of the season, like episode 1 through 9 or whatever, sucked. 1 through 8. Anyway.
So you're going to say it or not?
I'm not going to say it. Let's move on. Gaming. Let's talk about gaming. We got a couple of things here. It is significant, the statistic I'm about to mention, but it's not the main point. Nintendo sold over 650,000 Wiis in the last 2 weeks and made $33 million in profit on the virtual console. All of that is well and good. However, this is significant because the games industry as a whole is an enormous economic powerhouse and outgrew the U.S. economy 4-1. That's nice. Freaking crazy and scary. I may actually include a link in the show notes for this one because it's pretty interesting.
Well, that brings me to a question.
Well, let me read this quote, and then I want to hear your question. The gaming industry added a total of $3.8 billion to the GDP in the U.S. in 2006, while employing either directly or indirectly 80,000 people across 31 states. Which states enjoy the most benefit? California, where around 40% of the U.S. video game industry is employed. The gaming companies provided $1.8 billion in compensation to Californians in 2006, and the industry grew 12.3% in California alone, tripling the general rate of state economic growth. So there's a lot more to that story. I'll put a link in the show notes, and it talks all about just the impact. But $3.8 billion to the gross domestic product in the U.S. in 2006, crazy. Okay, let me hear your...
That's a lot of scratch.
Yeah, it's a lot of scratch. Okay. What's your question?
Okay. Now, basically, you've said how important the gaming industry has become to the American economy, right?
Yeah, sure. Well, yeah, numbers now, like that, sure.
Now, with people, and I'm serious here. I mean, I'm serious. With people like Jack Thompson, and if I'm not mistaken, Hillary Clinton
is un-American.
No, and if I'm not mistaken, Hillary Clinton is also not exactly pro gamers, right?
Yeah, and a lesbian. Keep going.
So but here that is irrelevant.
Hate mail. We should have a whole segment for that. Okay, here comes the hate mail. Yeah.
With a person like Hillary Clinton,
yeah,
with a possibility of being the U.S. president, and wouldn't that affect the gaming industry negatively and therefore end up affecting the American economy negatively?
No, because Brian says yes. I would say no. The reason I say no is because she's not going to do jack crap. This is a lot of yapping from somebody who's trying to be president. She's appealing to a certain base who are terrified of everything they hear about that's bad for their kids. And so all that goes away when you're actually president because you never keep any promises you make anyway. That's basically the bottom line there. And I don't trust Hillary as far as I could throw her. Which isn't very far because she's got a huge bubble butt. So now people can call me an arch conservative somehow because I'm making fun of Hillary Clinton. I'll have you know I don't like any of the Republicans either.
Freaking liberal or conservative?
Yeah, I'm kind of with South Park on this. I have a choice most years of voting between a giant douche and a turd sandwich. Anyway.
Brian, you going to say that the opposite or something?
Yeah.
Brian, you don't like Billary much, do you?
I don't care nothing about them Clintons.
You're not a big Clinton fan.
I never liked Clinton from the start because I didn't like Bill Clinton from the first time I saw him. I said, this guy is shifty. Had nothing
to
do with
politics. When you saw him at your daughter's birthday, you go, I don't like this guy.
First time I saw him.
You don't be hanging around my daughter.
Yeah.
First time I ever saw him running for president, I had no idea about his politics. I had no inclination whether or not I was a Republican or a Democrat at that time. I was fairly young then. And I could just tell when he was talking, he wouldn't look at the camera. He wouldn't look at people. Mm. I'm like, this guy looks shifty.
Shifty.
So I've just from that first impression, I've always kind of had a little thing.
You know what? What's interesting is I actually think, Bill certainly had his issues, but I actually think he was a good statesman and a pretty decent president in terms of being able to communicate and do things, and especially compared to that retarded monkey we have in charge right now.
Say what you want to, but, you know. Yeah, he has a little bit of trouble with communicating.
Yeah, a little, just a little bit.
So I mean,
Bill Clinton's really good at communicating his sexual desires to young interns.
Yeah.
So, but the bottom line is they all suck. But anyway, that's not the point of this. The point of this, would Hillary being in office or anybody else who's anti-video game actually affect adversely the video game industry?
Therefore, the U.S. economy.
Yeah, but they're not going to do anything to screw the economy because then that makes them bad.
U.S. presidents have done that before, huh?
Well, they have, but this gives real strength and legitimacy to that industry, if you ask me. These statistics say, look, this is an important major industry. This is no longer just some hobby or fad that's going to go away. This is huge, and it's a huge part of our GDP. And that is enough to make any politician go, I can't really talk that down. So I see it as a really good thing, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else on that before we move to O's butt old review? It's not really that.
Well, yeah. No.
Not
why are games so expensive?
That's a damn big question.
Because you got to help the U.S. economy.
Dude, I agree. I hate that. I hate
As they say in Idiocracy, the economy.
The economy. Yeah, by the way, that movie?
Baton.
I like that movie better than I thought I was going to.
I love that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, that movie's awesome.
I liked it quite a bit. All right, let's do this for O, because he gets to do it this time.
How were the graphics?
How were the graphics?
Okay, this episode of How Are the Graphics is being powered by a spicy hot Slim Jim. Oof. Anyway.
Step into Slim.
You have been playing a couple of games, both of them involve holding a gun in your hand, one in third person, one in first. Why don't you start with Gears of War and tell us what you think.
The interesting thing about Gears of War is that I finally get to review something new, but it's actually old. I mean, it's new, but it's old.
Yeah, new but old.
So, all I can say about Gears of War is that if you're a PC gamer and, like me, you wanted a 360 really bad because of Gears of War, well, here's your chance to play it, and supposedly it's way better than the 360 version, which is fair. I mean, it's about a year later.
How is it way better? You mean graphically or something or what? Because the content's the same, isn't it?
No, it has four new levels, right? I mean, I'm not sure you can call them levels, but it does have like four new levels added to it. I'm not up to that part yet, but apparently there's this one part where you go from fighting a sort of giant monster with rocket launchers on his shoulders, and all of a sudden you're on a train, and the game doesn't do very well at explaining what got you from here to there. There's another four levels inserted there that sort of explain that whole transition.
True. That transition bugged me when I played it. I didn't exactly know what the crap I was doing or how I got
so
there.
So they added another four levels there. The game does improve graphically, but that, of course, that's good for some of us, but a lot of people don't care about that much. Oh. And the game does earn a lot by the whole possibility of playing with the mouse.
Oh, yeah, of course. Now, what your thoughts on the game? Have you enjoyed it?
Gears of War is just plain fun. I mean, it does involve a lot of strategy. It does involve a lot of hiding behind stuff and stuff like that. But it's just a lot of fun, especially because you do feel like the whole destructive force of what you're doing. Yeah. You know, the way just blood splatters all over the place when you shoot somebody and stuff like that. It's just a lot of fun. It's great to just, let off some steam.
Is Dom still a freaking idiot and you wish you wouldn't have brought him with you?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah, Dom is still a freaking idiot. But
dies left and right.
Marcus Fenix, he is now on my list of, some of the most badass video game characters I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, he's tough as crap. We love that guy. Brian, too bad you can't play Gears because we were going to talk. And Brian, maybe we'll do this next week. I don't know. But we got to talk about how your 360 experience
my situation.
Went. Yeah. That wasn't good.
That was fun.
But that's worth – we got to spend real time on that. I think we'll save it for
next week. If you're a PC gamer and you missed Gears of War and you wanted to play it, grab this chance. This game is awesome.
Yeah. All right. Well, good. Now, the other game you've been playing is a graphical powerhouse. Speaking of how are the graphics, everyone's been talking about this game forever. It is finally out. The reviews are pretty strong. The game is Crysis. How does it run on your rig, by the way, and what do you think of it?
Okay, Crysis. Now, I was a big fan of Far Cry. I really loved Far Cry. I'll agree with people, the people that say that Far Cry probably wasn't as successful as it should have been because at the time a bunch of other games that were a little bit more popular came out. Crysis comes out, and it feels very familiar. Of course, the whole premise behind it is completely different, but the whole like Iceland tropical feel is still there. Crysis, it promises a lot of fun and it looks amazing. It will murder any computer.
Yeah.
That is completely, I feel completely safe saying that.
When you say Crysis, murder, what do you mean? It's just you can't do it on the high settings or something?
Well, okay, now the only way you can play Crysis at the highest possible settings is if you play it using DirectX 10 on Windows Vista.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, when you play it using DirectX 10 on Windows Vista, it's like 10 times heavier than it should be. Than it is.
Yeah.
And this is not like in some other games that it's because they're poorly made that it's heavier than it should be. I mean, this game, you can really see where all the weight is coming from.
Yeah.
But so I mean, you got to be like one of those absurd people that has no business having such a powerful computer to run this game, because people that have computers that could run Crysis comfortably at the highest settings probably aren't using their computer for gaming.
Mm-hmm. Good point.
So, but anyway, I mean, my computer can run Crysis at a decent detail level. I mean, I can run pretty much everything on high, a little bit lower resolution. The game is beautiful. And when I say beautiful, I mean, it really feels like you're in a world. Like if you just start shooting all over the place, you're going to start seeing trees falling down because you shot them and stuff like that.
Can I ask you a question about, does it bother you the way it bothers me? That the name of the game and the name of Crysis and the name of the company Crytek who made the stupid engine, can they make a game without their damn name in it? That's all I'm saying.
It doesn't really bother me as much as I find it confusing.
yeah.
You know, I'm just like, okay, so what about your next game? What is that one going to be called? Yeah. Are you going to change the name of the company for that one?
Cry Baby or something.
It's no, just maybe. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. It's weird. Now, the game has this very interesting, I don't know what you call it, whatever. Basically, you have a suit.
Okay.
You have a suit, and the suit pumps stuff into your character that makes him either stronger, faster, have better armor, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Now, the interesting part or the one that makes me wonder is the suit is not able to do any of those at the same time. Mm. It's either making you faster, making you stronger, improving your armor, but it can't do both. I mean, it can't do several of those.
Yeah.
So you have to choose.
Yeah.
And
they're limited time, right? You can't run forever. I mean, you can't have super strength forever. You got
to
run out.
Yeah. It runs out and you have to reload.
Yeah.
To me, it's been very uncomfortable, the whole control scheme for that. But it has like this really cool details. Like, for example, each and every time you make it strong, the game goes like maximum strength and stuff like that.
And you can customize your weapons and all that hoochie. I guess my question to you is, as a bottom line statement, would you say that this game not been so hyped and have such amazing graphics engine and all that, would this stand up as a really fun game, on the level of Half-Life, Half-Life 2, games like that you just have an incredible single-player experience with? Or would you say that it suffers from, wow, this is amazing, this frosting is so good, but the cake is just average?
Not up to that level. I mean, I wouldn't say that it's like Doom, for example. You know, like what happened with Doom 3, that it looked really good, but we had to wait until the next game made with that engine in order to see those good graphics put to good use.
Yeah, yeah.
Crysis is definitely a fun game. It's really well made, and it's awesome to play. But I don't really think it is like a 10 game in that regard.
Yeah.
Because it is a lot of fun and all that stuff, but I still think that Half-Life 2 was,
a hell of a game. Yeah, Brian, is this game you're interested in at all? You want to get Crysis?
I would love to have a game.
not the game, but a game.
A game, yeah.
Yeah, my PC is so freaking old, and my game system that we aren't talking about has not arrived yet. So
I cannot
wait. I would like to.
The reason we're going to save this till next week, I should let people know. The 4th is our next show. And my goal is on the 4th to have our big Christmas shopping show. I want to talk about all the geek gear and hardware and games and stuff that we think you should be getting this Christmas. And we're doing it on the 4th. So you have plenty of time to, add it to your list. And we can feel good about pretending that matters.
We can call it the whole show about the stuff O can't get.
Yeah, the stuff O can't get or the stuff you should buy. Sure. And so that's what we'll do. We'll save that because I think that's significant what happened to you for that topic.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think it's very, very dead on to what we're talking about next weekend.
It's a sad story, actually. But
it is.
We're ready to tell
it. We're not going to tell you about it yet.
We're going to share it with the people. The people are going to hear what really happened. All right, well, good stuff. Crysis sounds interesting. I'm definitely, it's a game I'm interested in playing, certainly at some point.
Give it a try. Give it a try. Definitely do.
All right, cool. Well, that is, well, gosh dang, that's going to about do it for the show, folks. We're about done. I was going to do calls, but the problem is something's weird with the chat room, and I can't even get it in there now. To the chat part. Anyway, that's okay. We'll get it next week. We want it next week, especially because we want you guys to be able to give us some advice on stuff you would like to buy. So plan on a major call stuff next week for a big portion of the show. All those in the chat room, thanks for all of you being here. Thanks to thanks to Brian. Thanks to Rob for theme music. Thanks to Scott Fletcher for various voice acting paraphernalia throughout the show. Thanks to you guys. If you want to be part of the show, send us an email, extraliferadio@gmail.com. You can also call us. And that number to use is the Gob Line, 801-471-0GOB. Thanks again to GoDaddy.com and you by now. Thanks to everybody else who I forgot to mention, because I'm sure there's plenty. Lots more coming up at the end of the show. Oh, thanks to Sebastian for the mashups. Can't forget him. Today's an oldie, but a goodie. And you already heard it, so you already know. Anyway, enjoy the rest of the stuff we got coming, including a bunch of calls from you. And we'll talk to you guys next week for our big holiday shopping special. Bye.
Once again, folks, this is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast over at treksinscifi.com with another review for you. A couple weeks back, I saw the new movie, the new animated CG movie, Beowulf. This, of course, is about that classic bit of literature that's taught in high schools and colleges from the Beowulf story. It tells the tale of a hero, Beowulf, of course, who is a, you know, almost a larger than, well, is a larger than life hero, and he comes upon this village that's being menaced by this evil creature monster that's been terrorizing them, called, and the name of the creature is called Grendel, and, you know, it's killed a lot of people, the fighters can't seem to face it, and all of a sudden in strides Beowulf, this, you know, very larger than life hero. And he is there to slay the monster, as he says in the movie. This has a wide variety of well-known cast, including Angelina Jolie, Ray Winstone, Anthony Hopkins. And the way that, of course, as people have seen in the previews that they did this movie, is they did a lot of motion capture of these actors and then CG animated kind of over that to give it sort of a not just animated look, but almost a very realistic look, I guess you could call it, in a fantasy setting. Now, the story is very cool. If you like this kind of stuff, dragons and fantasy, I think you'll enjoy the movie. The visuals are just, to me at least, stunning and amazing. I was very impressed by that. It's being shown in a couple different formats. I saw it in a regular movie theater. It's also out in 3D and in IMAX, I believe, as well. If you are into fantasy, D&D, you know, play World of Warcraft, that kind of thing, I would highly recommend you go see this at the movie theater. It won't nearly be the same if you wait for watching it at home, no matter how big of a TV you have to see it on. So go see Beowulf. It's a lot of fun at the movies. But I have to warn you, it's not a movie for the little kids. Probably teenagers and up for this one. Fairly good amount of violence in it. But I enjoyed it, and it's a rollicking good time. So anyway, that's it for this review. I will talk to you again real soon. Bye-bye.
In an all-new Extra Life Theater, a Colombian who's balding, no, ain't bald, a southern redneck, and some fat guy from Utah go on an adventure of friendship and poop jokes to save a princess. But can they make it before the dastardly old man Franks shoots her for being on his lawn? Only time will tell. Vert.
Run out, Scott. This is gold. Today's word is conundrum. This is, of course, the weekly segment, Learning with Seamus. Today's word is conundrum, which means, I believe, two bad choices, or at least more than one bad choice, but where the only choices are bad. I'm going to start over. This is not my night, and you'll hear why.
Hey, Scott and ELR crew, this is Rob. As Scott so promptly put, fahey, 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 fahey.
Anyways, I just wanted to call and say, hey, I was watching Family Guy today, and they mentioned Dean Cain. So I was like, yeah, they're still got Dean Cain sightings, and it's good to hear that Dean Cain's still around, because we're going to need him to save us in the sport of the future. You guys have a good one. Bye.
Hey, Scott Johnson, this is Chris Diamond. Okay, here's the deal, Bubbo. You got so many people hating you right now because you make fun of retarded people and you talk about how crappy anime is with the big eyes and the sweat bubbles. Dude, it's not even funny, man. I love those things. I don't even know why I listen to this stupid show anyways.
Hey, I would just love for you to announce my boyfriend's birthday, November 26th. His name is Joshua. So great if you could do that. Thank you.
Nobody knows who I am, and what I say doesn't matter. You're listening to ELR.
Extra Life Radio.
Parental discretion is advised. I have man boobs. This is Charlton Heston, Mission Report. I have infiltrated the Hive. They do not expect a thing of me.
Hey, Scott, I was just at Walmart and I saw a poster for the movie Bratz, and last time I checked, it was out in theaters and it's already out. I'm thinking, what the heck? Okay.
Hey, Scott, just FYI, it was the French who gave the Indians, or Native Americans, the smallpox-infested blankets, and they did it before the United States was even a country.
Hey, Scott Johnson, ELR crew, how's it going? Gobble, gobble. Happy Thanksgiving, or soon to be Thanksgiving. Anywho, I'm Joe. I go on the forums, SphereX Loathing 9, whenever I can. Haven't done it for a while. Been busy, mainly because I work 40 hours a week at my regular job, and I'm taking a temporary job at Electronics Boutique, just my local store, doing the winter seasonal thing to pay for all the awesomeness that's happening this year. And I got to touch Mass Effect, and I have to say, it's pretty stinking awesome. So here's to everybody hoping to get their hands on that, and happy Gobble Day.
What is the difference between a dead Canadian pig and a dead American pig?